Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, please. Wonderful portion of Scripture, familiar to many. And I'm looking at verse 31 in particular. This is a judgment, as recorded in God's Word. Hasn't happened yet. Now, the thing about this judgment, there are many judgments in Scripture. This particular judgment involves the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the earth after his rapture of the saints and the seven-year tribulation in heaven, and then coming back to the earth. This is where the judgment takes place. Now, this judgment is of the living. There are no dead people, resurrected people, or raptured people directly involved in this judgment. And if we read this thing through, we will see up until verse 46, we read it carefully, we will learn a lot about it. It says in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another as individuals. All the nations will be represented there, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king, that's the Lord Jesus speaking about himself, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Does this sound like the Lord Jesus Christ? It is. Most people don't think of the Lord Jesus Christ saying such things, but he did, and he will. Verse 42, for I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, what this is one of the judgments, and where does this fit in? As we mentioned, it says so in verse 31, where it is and when it is. This is after the rapture and the tribulation, When Christ comes in his glory, he's coming with all his holy angels, not the unsaved angels, not the devil's angels, the holy angels, not the unholy angels the devil has, the holy angels. And here's a thing that's not written here, but if you compare scripture with scripture, in Jude's epistle, you will find that we are coming with him. We, already having been raptured, if you're saved, when the rapture hits, you're going to be with the Lord in heaven, there to be during the tribulation. And then finally, let's just take a look. Hold your finger in Matthew. We will see. Now, there's a lot of people that are confused, even professing Christians, about when the rapture occurs. Is it at the end of the tribulation? Does the church go through the tribulation? Of course not. And here is one of the scriptures that tell you that. And it's actually in Jude. There's only one chapter, of course. And verse 14. And there's a prophecy of Enoch. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, Jude's epistle, verse 14. The seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord. See the capital L, small o, small r, small d? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all. Now, the angels will be there, but we're going to be there. We'll be behind the throne. None of us will be before the throne. The only ones that are going to be in front of the throne facing our Lord Jesus Christ in judgment will be three kinds of people involved, mentioned here. There will be actually two kinds of people being judged, three being mentioned. There will be the Gentiles, all nations. That's the Gentiles. That's not Israel. It's all nations. That's the Gentiles that have gone through the tribulation. Not all of them die. The only ones going into the millennial kingdom, this is just before the millennial kingdom, those are saved. There are people here who will not go through, will survive. They will survive the tribulation period, but they will not go into the millennium kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is their final stop before judgment, right here. The ones that get through this, that have gone through the tribulation period, will go into the millennial kingdom, both Jew and Gentile. Now, there are people saved during the tribulation period. They are part of the kingdom of God, yes. And the gospel being preached during the tribulation is the gospel of the kingdom. The church is gone, never more to be added to once we're in heaven with the Lord. These people are believers. If they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ during the tribulation, they will suffer persecution, death. It said beheading will happen to some of them, if not all of them. They will die, but there will those be surviving up until this judgment that we're talking about in Matthew. Now, here's what happens. The Gentile nations, we know it's the Gentiles because he says all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another as individuals, because you don't judge a nation in this context right here. Because what he's talking about individuals, what you did to the Jew. When he says, my brethren, he's not talking about anyone else but the Jew. The Jewish people, and some of them will be saved, and they will go through the tribulation, and they won't all die. There will be a remnant saved. God has always had a remnant. And they, of course, will also go into the millennial kingdom. and enjoy the things that God has here. Look what he says in verse 34. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Israel is an earthly people, and they're going to have earthly blessings. They also have spiritual blessings. If they are part of the church now, it's because they're saved. And those individual Jews will be brought along with us who are saved into God's presence. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's at the rapture. God has not appointed us unto wrath. The Bible makes it very clear. He has not appointed us unto wrath. The church is not mentioned, for instance, after Revelation chapter 4. Also, God, in times past, has always had his people, believers, Noah and the ark. They were rescued from judgment. And so on. Sodom and Gomorrah, there's another one. And so on. So God is going to take us out. But we are coming back with him, as we saw in Jude's epistle. And it doesn't say that we're going to actually have any part in judging these particular individuals. Now, how do we know that some of them are saved and some of them are not? Well, for one thing, God curses some of them and he blesses some of them. Now, it seems here from verse 35 on, some people have taken this as salvation by works. Nothing could be farther from the truth. All of these good works done unto the Jew are done because of salvation. All of the good works that you see listed here are because these people were saved. I'll give you another example. Look back in Luke's gospel, the rich man that went to hell. The beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate, and that rich man would have had to have stepped over him to go into his house and enjoy his supper. Meanwhile, there's the poor beggar Lazarus starving. He would have loved to have had the crumbs from the rich man's table. That rich man was lost. You know how I know? Because that rich man didn't feed that beggar. Something even an unsaved person might do, but he never did. How dwelleth the love of Christ in him? Wasn't there. So we know he wasn't saved. That man would have been happy with crumbs. Perhaps he fed his crumbs to the birds and neglected that individual. You could see that that rich man who lifted up his eyes in Hades was unsaved. It's the proof of his lost condition. And the proof of someone's good relationship with God, the result of salvation, is in the good works given to the Jew. God has made a promise to Abraham. We see a lot of anti-Semitism today. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a sign of the times in which we live that people could hate the Jew, even some professing Christians, and I don't believe that they're saved, hate the Jews. They hate them. They're always talking against them. I don't believe a saved person can do that. He may do it out of ignorance, but God will soon correct them. Because God has promised a blessing upon Abraham and upon all of Abraham's descendants. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And Christ says here, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, the Jews. Do you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? You should. Many of the Jews we have around here are very prosperous. They're in a lot of the professions. They seem to have a gift for getting ahead in this world. Remember, they're an earthly people with earthly blessings. God has never actually taken them away 100%, the blessings of this earth. They try to get ahead in this world. I had a Jewish friend, and we were talking. He wasn't saved. And I asked him, I says, what's your priority about, you know, the rest of the Jews? Don't you really read the Bible? He says, no. He says, we're more concerned about the things here and now. And many of them are. Some of them have been saved once God convicts them of their sins. And we pray that that will happen. And they'll come to Christ and be saved. I love the Jews. I love them. Pray for them every day. Paul the Apostle said he wished all Israel to be saved. I don't believe there's anybody here that despises the Jew. I hope you don't. The Lord Jesus Christ is still a Jew. Did you know that? He's still a Jew. He's in heaven, and I know that we know him no longer after the flesh, but he is still a Jew because he says here, my brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brethren, and I hope we don't ever call Jesus Christ our Lord and refer to him as our older brother. Have you ever heard a Christian do that? Makes the hair on my head stand right up. Don't ever do that. Just don't do it. He can call us brethren, but don't you call him your older brother. The Bible says he is our Lord and our God. We have to have that reverence for our Lord Jesus Christ. And try as often as you can not to refer to him only as Jesus either. That's a good term. Christ is another good term. But the best term to refer to the Lord Jesus Christ is giving him his full title, Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God calls him. And that's what he is. So we see here this judgment. It's a serious thing, very serious thing. And that's when it happens, and this is where it happens on the earth. We're coming back with our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will judge the living and the dead. And I'm going to stop now and let somebody else take the platform. Thank you. Nobody wants to open up God's word again. There's another judgment. We were talking about the Gentile individuals being judged because of what they did or did not do for Israel during the tribulation. Now, after the tribulation, I alluded to the fact that Israel will also go into the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, with our Lord Jesus Christ on the throne. Now, Israel also has a judgment, and it's at the same time, or close, not at exactly the same time, but it happens when Christ sets up his throne in glory. Before they can go into the millennial kingdom, God has to settle an account with Israel. The tribulation was a judgment, of course, on all those who were remaining on the earth after we're gone. But turn to Ezekiel chapter 20, and this is the judgment for Israel, not the Gentiles, Israel. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33, he says, as I live, saith the Lord God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, big L, small O, small R, small D. Surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the peoples and will gather you out of the countries in which you are scattered with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, that's the Gentiles, and there will I enter into judgment with you face to face. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Face to face, we see in verse 33, capital L, small o, small r, small d. That's the Lord God Jesus Christ, God the Son. And it says, I will gather with you face to face, in verse 36, as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I enter into judgment with you, saith the Lord God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 37, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels. The unsaved will not go into the kingdom, which we call the millennium. They won't. It says so right here. And I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go serve every one his idols, and hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me, but pollute my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. And he goes on, and he speaks of judgment, and he speaks of what the idolatrous nation now will inherit. If they continue in their idolatry, their covetousness, of which we are all guilty. Some people think that there's a racial stereotype with the Jews that they're all involved in money and money and money and so on and so on and so on. Everybody's the same way. Some people think that love makes the world go round. Actually, it's money that makes the world go round. You can live without love, unpleasantly, but you can't live at all without money. So human nature is very covetous and very idolatrous, and we do not blame the Jews for being any different than the Gentiles in that respect. God has concluded them all under sin, all of us, so that he might have mercy upon all, Jew and Gentile both. There's a day coming when God is going to make the crooked straight. All the mountains and all the hills, he's going to level them out. All of our ups and downs. Many of us go through ups and downs in life. I'm changing my direction here. I just wanted to mention that Israel also has a judgment before they go into the millennial kingdom. Also, I wanted to mention the Gentiles. Very important thing, Matthew chapter 25, especially if you have a red letter edition, you can hardly miss it. It's right there. But one thing I want to encourage our hearts in, as well as I have been encouraged at least, is that God is going to straighten all things out. We have our ups and downs. This is a word of encouragement. We all get upset during the course of our normal life. And one of the things about judgment is that there will be a day when all these things will be made right. A lot of us have health problems. A lot of us have money problems. A lot of us have problems in school, problems at home, all kinds of problems. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to tell you all my problems. You have enough of your own. But since I was saved, I've counted up all the things that have happened to me. You ever do that? If you don't have Christ, don't do it. It'll knock you down and you won't get up. If you do have Christ, you can count those things as blessings. Now, does that sound strange? You can count those things as blessings. When you are actually going through trials and tribulations, the Bible teaches that those other things are the messengers of Satan. There are people who never go through anything. Did you know that? You know why? I'll tell you why. Because they and the devil are going the same way. The psalmist speaks in the Psalms about when I considered, well, I'll call them the unsaved, the wicked. That's what unsaved are, according to God. They seem to have everything their own way. Yes, they do get in trouble. You see it in the tabloids on the way out of the supermarket. All you do is have to look and you can see there's somebody there that's rich and famous and has all these kinds of troubles. And people like it to watch it. That's what sells newspapers. You know why? Because we're the poor and obscure. They're the rich and famous. And we just love to see them get into trouble. The problem is sin. It's basically sin. That's the problem. That's the reason for all kinds of trouble, even among Christians. Not that the Christians are necessarily guilty of those sins. It's because the devil will use these things still to defeat the purposes of God in our lives. You cannot lose your salvation, but the devil will surely make your life miserable, or try to. Here's the cure. It's in the Bible. The Bible has a verse for almost every situation. If you stand and look at it, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, or God, is what it's talking about. Yes, I can tell you all my problems and the things that, you know what happened? I was just telling Matthew and Charlene on the way in. There's a reason why I'm like this. A lot of people say, you're a piece of work. You know, and even Christians have said that to me. And that's true. I'm a little eccentric, I suppose. I have no idea. But they say that I am. Well, all right, that's fine. And they're going to say the same thing about you. But you know why? I'll tell you why. I'm a little different in some ways. We're all individuals. But let me just tell you, I don't want to talk about myself. But I can see, as you get older, you can see things that happen, and every last one of them happens for a reason. I buried my brother. I was a witness in a certain kind of assault against a young woman. Witness after the fact. I had to go to court. It was on the 11 o'clock news the year I married Charlene. I was a witness in a stabbing. How many of you ever had that? I bet you didn't. I did. How many of you ever been shot at? I've been shot at by a complete stranger. Bullets were going right around me. Didn't hit me. Those things happen. It's Satan. That's a satanic attack, even though he uses people to discourage the Christian. You doubtless all have your own stories about how the devil will try to discourage you. The devil knows God's word. He knows he's a defeated foe. And the devil has had ample time to watch you, him and his demons, ample time to watch every one of us from childhood. He has seen, and his demons have seen, your great-grandfather from his childhood. He knows all about us. There is ample opportunity and ample tools and ample knowledge for the devil to try to defeat the purposes of God, but we know, and he knows, he's a defeated foe. You can't lose your salvation, but you can be discouraged. And let me tell you something about discouraged Christians. And it can happen, we all get it. You're no good to God except as a bad example when you're discouraged. Now, you don't have to stay discouraged, but you're useless to God except as a bad example. What you will do, if I am discouraged, I tend to spread the discouragement. You'll notice that? It's like sin. Sin is contagious. Discouragement is contagious. Here's my exhortation. The Lord Jesus Christ, no one ever went through, even as a man, what the Lord Jesus Christ went through. No man on earth can say that they ever went through what the Lord Jesus Christ went through. And where did he get his strength? God manifest in the flesh, Almighty God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But where did he get his strength? How did he overthrow the devil? How did he do all of these things? There was no sin in Christ. But many things tried to conspire against him, and many people, and the devil himself, Satan. Where did he get his encouragement? He went face to face with his Father on the mountains of Galilee, spent time alone with God. He had no place to lay his head, but he sought the face of his God, and God honored his Son. And God will honor you, and God will honor me. If we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if we follow his steps, the Bible says, those that honor me, them will I honor. That's the secret, and it's not supposed to be a secret. It's in the Bible. Seek out God's face. Enter into a deeper relationship with him. And how does that happen? Through prayer and the reading of God's holy word. It's communication. God communicates with us through the scriptures. We communicate with him through prayer. That's how to deepen any relationship, but especially with God. Shall we pray? Our Father, we ask thee thy blessing upon the scriptures that we've read to our hearts. We pray, our Father, that each one of us, though we know we need these things, oftentimes we neglect them. We don't give them the attention that they deserve. Thou hast seen us do it on countless occasions. We lead such busy lives. But Father, help us to spend time with thee in prayer and the reading of thy word. We always come away with a blessing, and yet, Father, we seem to have trouble finding time, finding a place to do these things. Help us, Father, to put first things first. Help us to realize who we are and what we are and who we should be and what we should be. More like thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we give thee thanks. Amen.